This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
I'm your host, Terry Honey. This is Couples of Destiny. And listen, if you're tuned in right now, it's not by accident because God brought you here for a purpose. Amen. It's Christmas Eve and it's a way of us slowing down. It's a way for us to remember the King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Doesn't it just help you remember things of the past? You know, we think and reflect on life and we reflect on things, laughter, joy, forgiveness. It's really a time to come together. You know, it's the miracle of Emmanuel, God with us. And that is so amazing. You know, I like the feel and the theme of Christmas because I think Christmas never changes, you know. It's the same everywhere. We're going to introduce this dynamic couple to you very shortly. And this conversation with Pastor Galen and Chantal Arends, you know, I just want to quickly share something with you. It reminded me of a specific December. We were trying to do a family photograph, you know, when you get everything together. And I realized at that time that Christmas isn't about a perfect decoration. It's not about a perfect family or even your perfect plan. You know, Christmas, it's about the presence, not so much about perfection. Because here I was trying to get a family photograph, but you know, with my 10 grandkids, the one will be speaking to the other one, one will see a toy, and the other one is laughing, and the one is yawning, somebody's eyes are closed, you just never get it done.
Yeah.
And that's when the Lord reminded me about the beautiful thing, you know, about how we, no matter how many times we attempt at trying to make something look perfect, He reminded me, he says, this is why I came.
Yes.
For the imperfect ones.
Yes.
For those kind of families, you know, not for the real ones who really have it all together. He said it's for the ones that really battle, the tired ones, the helpless ones, and the hopeless ones.
Yeah.
So right there at that moment, it just hit me to the core. It hit me to the core because I realized that Christmas was never about a perfect picture.
Mm.
It's never about that moment that we want so perfectly recorded, and we want to make memories. We all want to make memories. And it's about stepping out unfiltered, unashamed, just stepping out everyday lives, just saying, I'm showing up. And this is who I am, and here I am. So today, family, gather your friends and family. Share this broadcast from Facebook. Go to the YouTube channel. Share it from there. Go to our website at Cape Pulpit, Radio Cape Pulpit website. Live streaming from there and show it to your friends and family, those who might be alone at this Christmas time. I don't know if your Christmas looks like a Pinterest board or like a holy mess, like my house sometimes look when everyone's there. Let us remind you that today, Emmanuel isn't afraid of your reality. He steps into it, he redeems it, he transforms it, and he calls it home. He wants to come into your home today. So open up your heart and receive this beautiful miracle of Christmas. We're going to go for a song break, and I will introduce my guest to you shortly after that. Wow, what a beautiful song. And you know, as you're listening, wherever you're listening in from, tuning in from your kitchen, your car, or even hiding from the kids in the bathroom, wherever you're hiding, we see you. God sees you. Remember that you're loved, you matter. And Christmas is all about that reminder, Emmanuel, God with us. So share your testimonies here on Facebook. Tell us what special Christmas you have planned, or tell us some a special Christmas memory that you've experienced. WhatsApp us on our WhatsApp line number on the screen and tell us why we celebrate. Tell us your success stories for the year or any shout out that you want to do. So without me going on anymore, I am so excited to introduce to you Pastor Galen and Chantal Arends. Tell us about yourselves, Pastor Galen.
Well, thank you so much, Daddy, for having us here, and good evening to the listeners. Well, I'm Galen Arends, and next to me is my wife, Chantal. We are married 24 years, and the Lord has been very gracious to us. We've got three kids, Michael, Jokayla, and Rikael. And since last year, we've become also parents-in-law. So we've got one daughter-in-law. And so it's great to just talk a little bit about our journey. We've been in ministry since we got married. I mean, I was fresh out of Bible school in 2001, and a crazy season of of death and loss, and yet we ended up still getting married.
Wow. So was this before you got married?
Yeah, so on the day that we that our wedding was scheduled, I actually did my very first funeral, which was my brother-in-law, my eldest sister's husband.
Wow.
So that was the 17th of March 2001. So that was the day that was our scheduled as our wedding day.
Wow.
And we had to move it. And then I became the youth pastor at Grace Chapel in Woodstock, formerly known as Fountain of Joy Ministry, and served there as a youth pastor for a period of 4 years.
Okay.
And so then later on we were appointed as the senior pastor of Haderfeld Assemblies of God, that
right.
subsequently was relaunched as the Father's House. And so that's where we currently are in terms of ministry. Beside that, I've also been involved in academia. I've been a seminary lecturer and involved with missions, been to a few nations already.
Okay.
And so the Lord has been very gracious to us, and we're just thankful that we are still found worthy of being in the ministry. It is one of the greatest
yes,
joys.
Yes.
And we're just grateful for every day that we have to minister to people and to see people's lives change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to leave over to my wife to also talk.
Yeah, Chantal, come on, tell us, what role do you play in all of this?
Well, I'm his helper, I support him. And our journey is a journey of faith and testing, and God has been faithful. We couldn't have done anything without him. So yes, we are very grateful for that, yes, and for our family and people that come alongside us and support us. So yeah, that just makes the work of the Lord much easier.
Isn't that so beautiful when we have that kind of people, you know, that lift your arms up, that you just know they're going to be there at a drop of a hat. You can call on them and they're going to be there. It's so nice to have that kind of support, you know. I always speak to the listeners out there that are alone and say, you don't have to be alone. Loneliness is a choice.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
being in a community is also a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to be miserable and sit in a place of loneliness and stay bitter.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to say, Lord, I want to be better.
Exactly.
I want to experience the joy of what this Christmas joy is all about,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, so, ministry doesn't have to be a lonely place.
No, absolutely
it doesn't
not.
Have to be a lonely
we were
place
just saying ministry has no respect of your time and no respect of your family, but we can set boundaries.
Yes,
hello?
Exactly.
I always say that, setting boundaries. So pastors, you know, it's so beautiful to have you in the room. I just know everyone's heart is filled with hope today. They're probably thinking about wrapping Christmas at this time, the Christmas presents, Christmas Eve. That is also my thing, is to wrap presents on Christmas Eve, way up until midnight. Then I just see, oh, it's Christmas, you know, and the kids all come running out of the bedrooms. But, you know, I've taken wisdom over the past years now, so I start wrapping from October. It's not that much with my five kids and their spouses and partners and the 10 grandchildren. That's a lot of gifts to wrap, right? But anyway, so this year we're actually having a family meal together. We have a long table set up for 30, and that is what we're planning to do tomorrow. I don't know what your plans are. We can hear about it till later. Well, I've got a daughter coming in from Hong Kong, and she's been away for 2 years now. And we haven't seen her in 2 years, so it's really going to be lovely to have her. So we just felt like get everyone together, grandma, grandpas, and whatnot, you know. So, pastor's looking over the 24 years of ministry, being married for all that time and everything. You know, I know there's been Christmas memories probably blooming in your heart and in your lives, and there's maybe something that you want to teach the listeners today about love and grace that you so beautifully mentioned.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just, now that you were speaking about family portrait, we had a bit of an episode. Our daughter Jokayla was only 3 months. Michael was already a few years old. I think he was about 5 or 6. And so we decided we're going to do a family portrait. And Joe, being was the 1 month, I think it was about 1 month or 3 months. She was an infant. So we went to Van Kalker Studios in Woodstock. And,
I remember them.
Yeah, and so we thought, okay, we're going to do our first family portrait. We went, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. Our little baby girl just didn't want to cooperate. You know, if it was not crying, it was, you know.
And you changed the diapers.
it was vomiting. It was changing diapers a few times.
Wow.
And we were, what caught my eye was the patience of the photographer.
Mm.
It was Ivan. What's his name again? Irvin was doing the photography.
Bless you, Irvin, for your patience.
and he just caught my attention, and I couldn't believe this guy is so patient.
Yeah.
And we were trying to figure out, is he born again, or is he? No, because it looks like Arab. but nonetheless, yeah. We actually eventually went through it, and I was just reminded about God's patience with us. Mm. The Bible says that God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to eternal life. Just a few years later, two years later, I was doing a holiday club as the youth pastor, and we were using another hall in the Woodstock area, and in front of this particular hall there's a park. Mm-hmm. And we were running around and doing all kinds of activities, and then I saw this this red Opel Astra, you know, just stopping, and a guy jumped out with his camera, and so when I looked, I saw it's the photographer.
Right.
And that's when I learned that this guy loved Jesus and is born again, and so we became great friends. So that's one of our very fond memories.
Yeah. Yes.
Of. If we talk about family,
that's
family
beautiful. Portraits. You know, I always say we all have a memory. You know, Proverbs 17:22 always says, "A cheerful heart."
Yes.
A cheerful heart, and that is, even the patient heart. All of those, I always think, is good medicine. You know,
yes.
A cheerful and a patient heart. I'm adding to the Bible, but it's what I'm. It's true. You know,
right.
So patience is part of the fruit of the spirit. You know, and that is so beautiful. I think photographers must have the fruit of the spirit with patience, because also they're getting paid for it. It's the time. And that was always a thing. It was time, you know, so I was trying to tell them, let's get done, let's get the picture done, get the kids in order, because we're only paying for an hour, you know, to pay another $1,000 for another hour. It's like, come on, man, just smile right to me, you know. But it wasn't so much about the money, like Jesus said, I came for all of that. Praise God for that. We're just going to listen to a quick song and for a short song break, and we'll be back. Well, family, we are here. That was such a beautiful song. I want to just give you our scripture for today. And the Bible says in Psalm 24, in verse 7, it says, "Look up, you gates, rise up, you eternal doors. Then the majestic King will enter." Who is this majestic King?
Mm.
The Lord who is strong and mighty. The Lord who is mighty in battle. My encouragement for you today, listener out there, is to look up. Look up, you know. Mm. We don't have to look down and be all sad and look in a place of discouragement, because God wants us to look up at Him. Amen. So let us hear furthermore from our beautiful couple here today, Pastor Galen and Chantel. I hope I'm saying your name correct. Arends, right? Arends is with a Z, right? Okay. All right. So your roles have expanded from being parents to pastors to regional leaders. How has this message of Emmanuel, God with us, become more personal to you over the years? Through challenges, through good times, happy times, sad times, however.
Well, Emmanuel, God with us, we couldn't have done it without the Lord. As our role expanded from parents to pastors, even to regional leaders, the message of Emmanuel became deeply personal to us. And what we discovered is that we never lead, serve, or parent alone. And His presence, the Lord's presence, is our peace in every pressure. Because pressure do come.
Yes.
We know that we can rest in Him. We can find ourselves in Him. So Emmanuel really means God with us, and He gives us the strength, and He giving us the wisdom and the guidance in every season.
Right.
Because all of us go through seasons of life, and we cannot do it without Him.
And also, with just from a Bible point of view, we are not no longer in the Emmanuel season. We're in a better season. We're in a better dispensation. Jesus was excited to leave. He says, because the one that's coming after me, the Allos Parakletos, the one that will come alongside of you, he and then he also said, he who is with you will be in you. And so the Holy Spirit came. And so the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of grace, is resident within every born-again believer.
Right.
And so so it doesn't matter where we are, we cannot get rid of Him.
Okay.
He's right there with us. He's in us. And He's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so the Emmanuel theme, you know, after Pentecost, it's basically shifted to not Christ with us, but Christ in us, living in us. And so that we can then bear the fruit.
Yeah.
He's the root within us, and so that we can bear the fruit of repentance, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
And so I think that's the good news on top of the good news.
Yes, yes, I like you know? That, you know. I was driving this morning and I was thinking about that song, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's so beautiful now how you bring it out, God Emmanuel with us, but He sent Holy Spirit also to lead, guide, and protect us. You know, He's an amazing God.
Yeah.
He knows what we have need of. And especially during this Christmas time, while everyone is making it all about Santa and all about a tree and all about the gifts, you know, we think about all about what Jesus really did for us, you know.
Yeah.
And the beautiful part, like you said, the Comforter must come.
Yeah.
You know, that's whom we can rely on. So you're so right in saying what you said, Chantal, about, you know, if it wasn't for Him, you could never push through all those challenges and the good times, happy times, and sad times. Amen.
Yes.
So now that your children are adults and all of that, you know, I always think about my kids, but let's talk about your kids. You've welcomed a new daughter, you say?
Yes.
It sounded like you were saying we welcomed a new daughter in love.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you say in-law?
In love.
In-law. I like that. We should actually call them sons in love and not daughter in-law.
Yeah.
That sounds much better. I've got sons in love because I have five daughters, you know. So, yeah, I'm blessed with all the sons. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So, family, for you, has anything shifted in the way you do family now that you have a daughter in the house?
Well, we actually only have one in the nest. The two are already out. Christmas is a time of coming together, you know. I think with Michael, he has to navigate with 1 year with us, 1 year with her family.
Yes, yes.
But there's always been we love to have the house full.
Yes.
During Christmas. Christmas is very boring if you don't have people around.
It's terrible.
Especially if I grew up with a big family. I've got six siblings. We are six children.
Mm.
So I've got five siblings. So I grew up with a house full of people.
And
noisy.
That's the joy.
Yeah, joy, noisy, and sometimes the fightings and everything that comes with it.
Yeah.
But it is great memories, you know. For us, again, our little tradition has been we don't open the gifts on Christmas. It's Christmas Eve.
Yes.
So we would gather the kids, and then I would narrate the Christmas story, and then, but I can see, you could see in the eyes, it's almost ready, just get done.
We know this.
We come together, we have communion together.
Yes.
And then we explain to them, you know, what Christmas is all about.
Yeah.
It's not just about the gift because they're looking at the gift.
I want to know what we're getting.
The physical gift is, but
you also see what the
gift.
Love languages are, because some children don't care about the gift, they want you to be present with them.
Yes.
We all look for something under the tree.
Yes.
You know, I remember now, just a few days ago, you know, being in December, we had a big cookout in on the 6th of December in Ribic, and one in Malmesbury on the 13th December, and on the 20th December we just had one in Abbotsdale, and we had community leaders come together. Mm-hmm. Cape Pulpit came together alongside us outside the ball. Churches in the community, leaders, NGOs, and people from municipality, which is really such a God-ordained gathering.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like, you know, everyone wants to give something during Christmas.
Yes.
And that is just a memory that I want to share with someone out there today. You may be listening today and wondering what you can do.
Yes.
If you're alone, cook a meal for two and take a plate of food to someone.
Right.
You'll find them, whether they're on the street or find them, go to a shelter.
Right.
Go and feed the poor. The Bible says, the poor we will always have among us. Amen.
Sure.
So what wisdom do you have for young children, young couples trying to build a Christ-centered home culture, a culture that lasts?
I suppose to keep the main thing. You know, to always remind them the reason, the real reason for the season. Because Christmas has become quite glamorized.
Mm.
And the Christmas that we have become accustomed to is different from the first Christmas.
Mm.
It was a messy Christmas.
Mm.
It was a kettle lowing. It was, you know, noisy.
It
was smelling.
Yeah.
It's everything. But what we've become accustomed to, unless it's glamorous for some people, they won't see it as Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We must also, in this day, we see that Christmas has also become commercialized. You know, that Christmas has become about consumerism, and gift getting, and giving has taken the center stage, apart from, you know, looking at really who is the gift. Christ is the gift. And then it's become secularized. And many cities, streets are bustling with shoppers and festivities. You've never seen you don't see the shop as full, the malls, etc. The beaches are, the Christmas Eve, the beaches are empty, but the shops are full. it's really become secularized. But then it's also to a certain extent become culturalized. If you look at, you know, in America, they sing a song, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas."
Mm.
You know, in Cape Town, there's a new song out by Tracy Carter, not so new anymore. When she speaks, she sings about Christmas, Cape Town at Christmas.
Mm.
She sings about the lights of Adley Streets, the 15 types of meat, Kemsley, here we go. It's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm not saying that those things must be taken out, but it should move us closer to understanding why we are celebrating this day.
Mm-hmm.
It is the incarnation. It is one of the greatest mysteries,
mm-hmm.
that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
And also that he who knew no sin became sin for us. And you know, I know that there are people that they don't want to celebrate Christmas because they don't think it's biblical. Maybe the days, we can argue about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact remains is Jesus came.
Yes.
The fact remains is that God became flesh.
Absolutely.
And unless he became flesh, he could not die for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole gospel is also locked up in the fact that we serve a God that loved us so much that he gave his one and only son.
That's true.
And I would say that we must just keep the main thing, and amongst all the celebrations. You know, I've never been to a party where people celebrate everybody else except the birthday boy or the birthday girl.
Mm-hmm.
So if we understand that it is the birth of Christ, that we keep that in front of us.
Yes.
It's a wonderful time of reflecting on God's goodness
and his
grace.
Mm-hmm.
That the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. We're going to listen to a song. Oh, Pastor Karen, I love it. Grace came through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so many people want to take Christ out of Christmas. You know,
yeah.
They have that Xmas.
Yes.
And I had a bit of a challenge with that, but it's a personal thing, and I think everyone has their own perception of what they believe Christmas should be.
Yeah.
You know, I remember speaking to somebody who doesn't celebrate Christmas and they don't know about Jesus, they totally not a Christian. And when I shared, I asked him, "Do you know what Christmas is about?" And they said, "No." And I said, "Well, let me tell you." And then they understood. People don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, happy holidays and festivities, but don't make Christmas Day about that, as you said. Yes. Let's celebrate the King, because it's all about Him. Amen. Mm-hmm. So today, family, you may be listening in from your home, from your car, from your bathroom, wherever you are hiding away. I want you to engage with us. Tell us what your Christmas story is. Tell us what you're doing today and what are you preparing for tomorrow. In a world of overwhelm and hungry for hope, what do you believe, pastors, you know, the church and especially families are being called to embody as we step into a new year?
So somebody once said we have a great need for Christ and we have a great Christ for our need.
Say that again.
So we have a great need for Christ.
Right.
But we also have a great Christ for our need.
Love it.
And so Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. Even in fact when he started his ministry, he spoke about the anointing be on him. The Holy Spirit being on him and God has anointed him to preach the good news to the poor. He's come to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And so we understand that what Christ epitomizes our greatest need. And our greatest need is that we are sinners. We are born in sin. And unless we understand that, we will not understand our need for the Savior. Christ came because the Bible says that that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. And so it is true what you say is that many people don't know. They don't know the real reason for the season. And so also as the body of Christ, unless we reach out, unless we go, how will they know? How will they know about this amazing Savior that could save us? Paul says he considers himself the chief of sinners. He may not have been the chief of sinners, but in his eyes, because he understood the gravity of his sin, the gravity of we are not good people. Maybe in our eyes, and from outside, but by the core of humanity is sinful, and because of that, we need a Savior.
Right.
And now we've got a moral responsibility as born again believers, a moral responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's like a beggar that found a whole storeroom full of food. And now for him to stand there and eat alone would be immoral. So he's got a moral responsibility to tell other beggars where he found the food.
Right.
And I was like, God, that's what Jesus has done for us, you know, and so we need to tell the world. We need to tell the world there's a Savior that loves them. There's a Savior that's capable of saving them. And it's not just a pie-in-the-sky type of a thing, but it's a reality within our own lives.
Right, right. You know, Pastor Chantal, I'm looking at you and I listen to what your husband is saying, and it's so relevant for now, you know. And I don't know how your involvement in ministry as a couple... You know, how do you balance your time for ministry, family, personal life, you know? And what have you got planned for Christmas besides the family lunch? What are you planning for the holidays?
Well, we obviously we put God first. Because when you put anything else first, it becomes overwhelmed. You become tired because there's so many things to be done. You know, you need to make time for your children, you need to make time for visiting families that coming in, or our neighbors that's coming in, and ministry, God first, and everything else will follow. That is how I put my time in place. And yes, bringing hope. I believe that the church and the families are called to embody hope, pointing people to the light, pointing people to Jesus. Bringing unity, you know, building strong, Christ-centered families, homes, compassion, loving people intentionally. And as we enter this new year and this season, you know, putting God first and leading others and share this gospel with the world.
Right. And that's beautiful. You know, sometimes we forget that we can still go and evangelize, especially during this time.
Yeah.
You know, I remember there were times that we didn't really have Christmas lunch before we'd go and feed everyone else.
Yes.
You know, it's out, we know who in the ministry, church, who is the families that are challenged, you know, and we'd go to certain homes where we know they needed help just to go and be that hand of compassion.
Yes.
You know, and Jesus, everybody looks at the problem and say, oh, you know, I wish something can happen, somebody can do something, and God is saying, how about you?
Yeah.
And the prophet all said there, the Lord said, who will go for me? Who shall I send?
Yes.
You know, and us, even as media missionaries, you know, for us to come here on a Christmas Eve to come and do a broadcast shows that you have compassion for people. You want to see the kingdom of God establish, the kingdom of God expand, and through your personal testimony, you know. What made you, Pastor Gaden, what made you serve the Lord? How did your life change?
Well, I grew up my dad got saved when I was about 10 years old. I'm the youngest of six. And so most of my siblings were already, they were late teens. My two sisters were married already. So dad got saved. He had an encounter with the Lord. And I could see his life being drastically changed. And so during that time, mom was still very much, my mom was religious. She was involved with the church, and particular church, and was a leader there. And so what then happened was their service would start at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9, and I would go to that service. And then I would stay for Sunday school from 9 till 10. And then dad's church would start at 10:30. I would run over to dad's church. And I would be there. And it went like that for a year or two, until my mom then had an encounter with Jesus. And she got saved. She got born again.
Okay.
And my parents eventually ended up in the ministry. And so I grew up in a little town called Kroonstad. And so we would host, you know, constantly pastors and leaders that came to minister.
Okay.
So I grew up in that environment, and I think the first time I preached was 11. I was 11 years old. I can't remember what I preached. I just remember that I was very nervous. And all that I know is that I made an altar call and there were people at the altar. As a teenager, I obviously drifted. And then I had an encounter with the Lord in 1996 in my room.
Right.
Where I encountered Jesus in my room. And that changed the whole trajectory of my life.
Wow.
And I realized that I will not be fulfilled unless I follow the call of God of all of my life. And so I went to my mom. I said, Mom, I need to go. She said, go where? And then she asked, do you want to go to Bible school? And I got shocked because I never told her anything. And later on, they told me, that there was prophecies when I was a child. At one particular time, two pastors visited our town, and they stayed with us. And the breakfast, the morning, I think the Saturday morning, the one pastor said that he had a dream of me. And at that time, I was about 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
And he saw me on a white horse with a short, and there was a map under under the horse. And then the other one, gave the interpretation of the dream and said, your son will be a preacher of the word, and he will preach the word to the world. And so, since I made the decision to follow the Lord, I came to Cape Town only with my suitcase in 1997. And so, like they say, the rest is history. I came to meet my wife here, the family.
Well, that's coming from Kroonstad for you. Well, we're going to listen to a joyful song. Yeah. Stay with us and share the broadcast. Wow, family, what a wonderful time. Christmas Eve. I can't wait to see what's under my tree, because I know that Jesus sees me. How's that for a rhyme? Bosses, that was gold. You know, what a blessing you know, that you're sharing with us your testimony, your personal story, and just where God brought you from, where He's taking you to, and what He's doing in your ministry, and in your lives. You know, we hear your heart for family and kingdom expansion. So with everyone listening, whether your year felt like miracles or mayhem, whatever it is in your life, Christ came for you. He came close, He came near, He came to stay. Just open up the door, lift up your head, and this is the King. This is who we're talking about. This is our King. I would say today, this is my King. Before we close this Christmas Eve broadcast, family, let us lift up our declaration that will shake atmospheres. As you make a declaration today, remember of who your King is. So let this wash over you like hope over every weary soul. This is our King, the King of heaven, the King who stepped out of eternity and wrapped Himself in humanity just to walk with us, save us, redeem us, and restore us. That's my King. He's the baby in the manger, the teacher in the temple, the healer on the streets, the savior of the cross. He is the risen Lord at the right hand of the Father. That's my King. Family, He is Emmanuel with us, God. He's not far away. He is in the mess, He's in the miracle, and in the midnight moment of the soul. And the best part is He's coming again. I'm going to ask Pastor to say a prayer over you this Christmas Eve that you can embrace. So let us just come together and pray.
Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace towards us. We thank You for this time, the time of reflecting on the greatest gift given to mankind, Your own Son. And Father, we thank You that as I come, I want to commit every listener to You, and You know where they are finding themselves. I pray for those that may be at a place of disappointment, that may even suffer or suffered great loss, those that have become hopeless. We pray today, Lord, that You will minister life to them. Mm. We declare, Father, that You would open the eyes of their understanding so that they may know You. We pray that You'll enlighten their hearts, O God, so that they may know the hope of Your calling, that they may know the inheritance that they have in the saints and the power of God that's at work in those who believe, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So we pray that You'll encircle them, that they will know that You are there, that they will encounter You afresh and anew in Jesus' mighty name. Even in this time, Lord, we give You thanks, praise, for You are a glorious and a good God in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. He is the soon and coming King. Well, Merry Christmas, loved ones. Merry Christmas, pastors. Enjoy your day tomorrow. May the light of Christ shine over you today, tomorrow, and into the glorious new year. We don't know what 2026 has in store, but we know who holds the future. And that is the one consolation that we have as children of God. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, if you don't know that He came to die for our sins, go and read Romans 10 verse 9 that says that if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead after He died on Calvary, then the Bible says you are saved. So today, say that sinner's prayer, repent of your sin, and say, Lord Jesus, come and live in my heart. Forgive me of all of my sin. Make me a new creature. I want to walk with You. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I want to spend eternity with You in Jesus' name. Well, family, don't forget, this is Couples of Destiny. Live your purpose. Live with your partner and your destiny together. We love you, and we'll see you again in 2026.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.